Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where we talk about mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Percan Bandia. And in this week's episode, I engage in a dialogue with the inspiring Bethany Enos. Together, we embark on a profound exploration of self-discovery, spirituality, and personal development. Bethany is a renowned coach and an advocate for personal development, and in this episode, she shares her unique perspective on the transformative power of self-discovery. Drawing from her own journey, Bethany delves into the importance of embracing vulnerability and authenticity as catalysts for unlocking one's true potential. For Bethany, her journey started in the study of the human experience, and that spanned 20 years of her career where she was owning salons and serving as a stylist. She quickly became known as a person who supported people to transform their inner worlds and lives with a hair transformation as a bonus. And people returned to see her and share with her for years on end. In serving tens of thousands of people over this time frame, a common thread that she witnessed time and time again was people not recognizing themselves as the brilliant and unique humans they truly are. People not seeing their innate worthiness and people not seeing their splendor. No matter what efforts humans were making in their physical world, they couldn't see it. So paired with her personal journey with all things that humans grow through, like trauma and heartbreak, through her healing and deep transformation, she devoted herself to spreading what she had learned, experienced, released, created, and embodied with other humans who needed it. And gratefully, her journey of splendor was born. I really hope you get a lot out of this episode, and if at the end you could leave a 5-star review or a comment in the comment section, I would truly appreciate it. You can also find Bethany online. My website is www.revealyoursplendor.com and on Instagram at revealyoursplendor. And a brief word for our sponsors. So I would like to talk about deodorants because I'm tired of constantly replenishing my deodorant and then having to worry about disposing those plastic containers. There's a solution for that. Wild. Wild provides a eco-friendly, all-natural deodorant with a sustainable design. They provide a for-life aluminum case. For me, they sent me a personalized case with my name on it. And did I mention you can customize your orders and have these refills delivered straight to your door? This is an all-natural solution where there's no aluminum in the product, just in the case. Go to wearewild.com and use code EASY at checkout for 25% off your first order. All right, Bethany, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for coming on today, for daytime for you, evening for me. I'm super grateful and looking forward to this conversation. I appreciate you reaching out. And before we get started, I do want to give an opportunity to yourself to share your story and let the listeners know a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been life coaching for the last couple of years. However, I always have a joke that I've probably been doing it my entire life. Like, I know when I was in primary school that, you know, the girl that was having the divorced parents, I was counseling her every lunchtime and like checking in on her if she was okay. And then I moved into hairdressing. And, you know, it's really funny. The more that I become a life coach, the more that I look back and go, wow, I was just coaching people over those haircuts the whole time. Like whether they were ready for it or not, that's what I was doing and trying to do all this personal development stuff. Like I had a salon that was very very focused on going inwards, right? Like there was no magazines or anything. Everything was self-help books and the conversations were all around that. And so, yeah, I think my journey into being a life coach and into releasing splendor to the world has been coming my entire life. And so yeah, it's quite an exciting time. Splendor is my overall brand of all the coaching programs that we run. And it's only just come out in May of this year. And so it's all very fresh and new. But like I said, I think it's been this development coming through me my entire journey so far.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. I didn't notice that in you know, your story that, and I've had friends that are hairdressers as well. And it's crazy how much you talk to people without realizing, and you learn so much about the person in that hour to 2 hours you're spending with them. So I find that very fascinating that you were able to obviously learn about these people, but then also help them in that time frame, right? And build that relationship. But to your point, if something that feels like was a calling in a way, right? Considering how even as a child, you were able to support other children in that space and talk to them. So looking back now in terms of the work you're doing, do you feel like it was always a calling and then you finally stepped into it?
Oh yeah, this has been my life's purpose, and it's just been the clarity around it has been unraveling over time, right? When I spent that 2 years, sorry, 2 years, 2 decades hairdressing, I was really getting into the coaching side, but I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to do business stuff. And then, you know, more pieces would clear up and more would unravel for me until I got so clear on the area that I want to coach in. And then, you know, by the time I've come up to Splendor, it's like, oh, wow, this is all of my lessons. Like, this is all of the things that I've been taken through and all the things that I've come through in life that I can then share with other people from a space of having experienced it myself. So yeah, I just find it's been this, mm-hmm. this beautiful unraveling into landing where I feel in so much alignment with who I'm meant to be.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And quite often, and I can speak for myself too, but a lot of the people I know who end up stepping into the space and living their purpose, often it takes them a personal experience or some sort of facing adversity or trauma that they're able to overcome and realize that now they have this ability and wisdom to be able to help others. Was that something that you experienced as well? And if you don't mind sharing, what was that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's like, pick an area, right? Like I've got to where I am from doing a whole lot of things wrong and learning from a whole bunch of failures and also learning through trauma, learning through things that I needed to release. You know, in my zone, I always talk about releasing fear so that we can return to love. And so our entire journey is a journey of releasing fear so that we can come into our full self. And so, yeah, we like guide ourselves into the wrong zone because our fears are still present until they're actually removed. So for me, it's like, you know, the string of bad relationships, for example, like I went down a path with a whole bunch of wrong partners until I could figure out what was going on within me so that I could then manifest in the right one, the right fit for me. And, you know, in business, like I went through years of, sometimes it was like in the beginning, I got it really like well too quickly. I grew too fast. The success was too quick. And then all of the fears came through and everything sort of started to come down underneath me. And so then when I train people in business, it's like I know what to clear out before they build it up, because that was such a rocky, unstable part for me to go through there for years. One of the things that we work through is our relationship with our body. In one of my programs we work on releasing weight, but actually connecting you back to your body. And I had a terrible relationship with my body for years. I was like quite overweight and quite disconnected from myself. And so just working through all of that to come back into myself so that I could actually then, yeah, be in connection, but then teach other people how to do this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And just to kind of pick up on some of the things you mentioned there, and I want to explore one of the things is that disconnection with the body. And in terms of the people I work with in the therapy sessions or even the research I've come across, quite often that disconnection happens because we're not able to express ourselves. And it's something that we never really learned, having this ability to express our emotions or feel them and be able to be aware of them even, and not having that language or the vocabulary. And we just kind of tend to shut off. And then we just lose that ability to have that introspection, but then, you know, it's just feeling shut off. Is that something that rings true for you? And what was that like?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, our culture teaches us to not feel, like to numb out our emotions. And what we actually need to do is allow them to cycle through our body, right? Like, I come from the belief that we are a soul that is wanting to have the human experience. And to have the human experience is to have the full range of emotions. And so to actually have the experience, the soul brings it in, the physical body needs to feel it, and then it needs to be processed in the mind so that the cycle is complete. And so what happens is when it comes into, like, we have the experience and we shut it down in our body, the energy is still in our body, right? So the energy either shows up as excess weight, it shows up as disease in the body, you know, causing a whole bunch of health problems. You know, people just having aches and pains that they can't get to the bottom to. It's the energy that hasn't been shifted and moved through. And so much of the journey is allowing ourselves to fully experience and embody an emotion. And, you know, for this one, I'm always like, watch children. Like, watch what children do, because they haven't been humanized yet, right? The child throws the tantrum and then 5 minutes later is running around happily again. And the adult perceives it as, oh, you know, child just being a child doesn't get life. And I'm like, no, the adult doesn't get life. Like, the child allowed it to cycle through, fully experienced it. And because they allowed the sadness through, then all of a sudden the joy can come back in and can come back in all of its fullness. Right? Like, when we don't actually even have the negative emotions, then we prevent ourselves from having the high vibration ones at their fullest capacity, because we have the energy out of our body for that one to think. No, you're right. I think it's got a bit of play. We have done a lot of work in just learning to embody emotion and learning to really respect it. Right? Like, I mean, I get this, you know, not everyone has the luxury of working for themselves and having this choice. But for me, if my energy is not there, I don't work. I make sure I sit with the emotion. I do whatever I need to do with that and honor myself and my experience in moving through them as they're happening, so that nothing ever builds up again. And so, you know, if someone can't stop in a day, or even when I can't do that, it's like, you still do the next available time. Like, you still get to it and make sure you honor yourself in your journey by being present.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree with you on all of that. And that's kind of what I see with a lot of people, because first of all, they don't, like I mentioned earlier, don't have the skills or don't have that awareness to be able to sit with those emotions and be present. And then the other thing is there's a lot of discomfort that comes with it. So a lot of people tend to avoid it, and that causes a lot of that shutting off. And then to your point, because that energy isn't being released, or we're not expressing it in a healthy way, it comes out in different ways. And I think a lot of the times, and again, I'm speaking out of experience, but because we haven't given those emotions a seat at the table, we haven't expressed them, we're not aware of some of the stuff we're repressing, we tend to put ourselves in situations that aren't good for us, even though we know that, right? And so most of the time, it's relationships, as you alluded to. That's how it shows up. And then we repeat those patterns over and over again. And fortunately, most people are able to realize it and make those changes. And to your point, almost change your whole trajectory of life, right? You define a new path, and that's what's the most important thing. And that's what I try to tell people and express to them. The other piece to your point is we often end up shutting off that soul, right? Like, we're it is a soul having a human experience, but we repress it so much and we cloak it and put this veil on and we're not able to live our true authentic self. And what does it mean for you to be able to now have that awareness that you're a soul in this body, or a lot of people call it bodysuit, that's having this human experience? So what does it mean for you? And how are you trying to honor that?
Oh, it's my core foundation of how I do life. Like, this is the ultimate freedom, is coming into recognizing that, because then you're going, rather than being at the effect of life, you're actually able to create your life, right? Like, actual true manifestation comes from knowing the power that you have because you are a soul having and creating this human experience. But you're also then able to, you know, disconnect from it in some ways, because people do they feel like their pain and their emotion is the event, right? Like, they feel like the things that are happening to their life is all that it is. And when you can be like, wow, I'm just here to experience, then it doesn't take over you in the same way. And something right. actually on that I want to bring in is, like, when people get like, and even this is, you know, I used to do this a lot as well, is like, get it so scared of facing the emotion because it feels as though it will become all of you, right? It feels as though, like, if I actually tap into that sadness, like, it will become all of my experience and I'll never be able to stop it. And if we really tap into that feeling, there's like almost this sense of death that comes with it, which is so bizarre that I think people can't put language to it. But it's like, I feel like I'll die if I go into it. And I say to people, there is actually a death. It's actually a death of your ego. And it's a death. But when we haven't learned how to separate the difference between our ego and our true self, we think the ego is us. We sense the death of the ego. We think we're going to die if we go into the emotion, and we make it so complicated. But yeah, if we know that there's these two parts of ourselves, and we know that the emotion is just an experience, we're here in the carnival ride of life to have all the ups and downs. And I'm just going through a down right now. And when I go through the down, I'll do the up. Or, you know, I'm going to go through the up and I'm going to celebrate it to its fullest, because I'm not going to fear that it's going to, you know, be taken away from me the next day. I'm just going to be okay that it isn't a down, right? Like okay that this is what it is to go through those waves. And then we open ourselves up into facing it, and we almost welcome that, right? We can be like, wow, like, the more that I get rid of my ego, the more that I come into my true self, the more peace, joy, like, this is only a good thing. So it's like, hit me. What else can we get away from? Like, what else can we take away in these moments?
Right.
That's a full rounded way to explain to you, like, how freeing it is for me to come from the soul and be like, how, like, it's like, what else can I get rid of my ego today? Like, how else can I pull it?
I hear you. And I think it's such a, once you start experiencing life that way, things feel a lot easier and lighter. Right. And I think you don't get too caught up in the waves of emotions, or as I like to call, you know, life can be chaotic at times, you know, this whole aspect of entropy, but you're not getting too stuck. And the way I look at it, or I try to explain it to people, is always maintaining this even keel approach, not getting too excited when things are going well, and then not getting too down when things aren't going right. You know, you're kind of maintaining that same flow, approaching every day. If things are going great, just being humble and grateful for that, knowing that it change anytime. And then when things aren't going great, recognizing that it's not my forever, it's temporary and this will pass. And I know that sounds like this too shall pass. The whole notion of it is cliche, but that's really what it is, right? And once you start realizing that part of the human experience, we're here to take the lessons, learn, and then apply them in our life, does make it a lot easier. But that's where people, I think, really struggle, and a lot of the mental health challenges I see, whether it's anxiety or depression, you see a lot of people getting caught up in the wave of emotions and then kind of just letting that run their life rather than themselves taking control and just holding space for those feelings and those experiences without losing themselves.
The thing I see is that each experience is present to give you the opportunity to choose fear and love, right? Like each thing is actually serving you. So, you know, I'm a big person around gratitude. And what I expand people into is to understand you also get to be grateful for your challenges, right? Like you get to be grateful for the lessons. And when you open yourself up to being like, wow, look how this is serving me. I'm so grateful for that coming through because then it unlocked this and unlocked that. And when we can do that, then we don't go into resistance when we're getting a lesson, right? And I often say that, like, you know, spirit will give you a tap on the shoulder to be like, hey, you got to learn this lesson. And if you ignore the tap, eventually it turns to a slap across the face, right? Like we get to choose the degree that our lesson comes through to. And if we are grateful for lessons, we stay in that vibration where when the tap happens, you're all of a sudden you can be like, okay, cool. I'm ready. I'm open. What's this one about? Like, bring it through. Are you recognizing the fear, love thing? You're like, okay, this is going to serve me. I'm going to get rid of my ego even more and come into my true self. And in that gratitude, you open up into the lesson. But when we miss all of that, as soon as something's coming in, it's like we restrict and hold ourselves down. It's like, oh, here it is again. Life's going to hit me again. And it's like, no. This all serves you to grow you. And the only reason it's getting harder is you're missing the initial cues.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've heard a less physical version of it, but I've heard the universe whispers until it screams. I like the slap because that has more of an emphasis.
Well, feel like that. Oh, I'm trying.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I mean, that's the piece of it, right? And I think to your point, it is a death, but I think, you know, as you're transforming, an older part of you that you no longer need is dying, and you can hang on to it, but you have to recognize perhaps that part of you is not serving you anymore. So I think a lot of people struggle with that and letting go because of what it means. It's stepping into discomfort. It's stepping into uncertainty and something new, but that's where the growth really happens.
Well, the other piece to it is like we resist letting go of it because it's the identity we have for ourselves. And then it's without this, who am I? And what the piece I think humans really miss is that you get to choose, right? Like you get to create it. It's kind of like they're waiting for it to be revealed to them. And like you are the creator. You get to choose who you are, what you experience, like you're directing the whole show. And so if you want to shift your identity, you actually have the power to do that. And so if we're taking one away without being aware of activating that power within us that actually then creates the new version of you, then we're not actually, like, that's the unease piece. It's so like, well, can someone tell me what to do? Can someone make this for me? And it's like, step into it. So I think the more that we can, you know, humans are terrified of how powerful we actually are, terrified of it. And I think the more that we find peace with our power, the more that we actually then like can create, can expand, can manifest anything that we want. And the thing with the, I'm going to go into all of this, sorry. The thing with the power, it's like you also need to be responsible. And the higher the level of responsibility, the higher the level of power, right? And as soon as people start this journey of like, wow, I'm creating everything, I'm the one that this is all coming from, then they also have to be responsible for the things that they didn't like, right? Like, oh, okay, well, I created that one. And rather than step into that responsibility, it's easier to default back and go, no, everything's happening to me. And I'm like, the initial piece where you are aware of like, hey, I created the good and the bad, that part sucks, right? Like it's a hard-hitting section to go through. And then once you crack through it, though, it's like it becomes almost addictive to be responsible. What else can I be responsible for? Because you recognize how that partnership works. You know, for me, I'm someone who believes in that we keep coming back, that we have, like we continue to have this life experience until we get to a certain vibration. And I know there's things in my life that I'm like, how could I possibly have created that, right? It just didn't make sense. And through my own discovery, in my belief, it came through from something that I had karmically created through a past life. And as soon as it came through to me, I was like, oh, it was true. I feel it. It was so correct for me. And so then even my traumas in this life, I willingly took responsibility and went, you know what? Yeah, I did create that. Like my soul across my life journeys created that, and I'll take responsibility. And, you know, that's how far it can get, that you're willing to go to that depth of responsibility once you crack through. And that's why, like, I can get to the level of manifesting and co-creation with spirit the way that I can, because I went through past that peak. You know, so I say to people, like, before, when you didn't know better, you couldn't do better, right? Like, if you didn't know that you were creating it before, you couldn't have done it. So when you hold on to that, you can come through that shame and guilt piece when you're looking at self-responsibility and just come into acceptance with, like, this was my time to know it. Like, now is my time to know it. And as I shift through that, then I can, like, now I'll do better. Now I'll do something else with it.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And I think I do want to expand on that piece of responsibility, because, you know, as you were saying that, something was coming up for me. And I think for me, a lot of the times I have my days, especially when things aren't going so well or things are getting chaotic. I'm like, oh, I wish I could just like shut this off or, you know, take a break from this. But most of the time I find it does empower me, because I realize that, yes, I'm stepping into this responsibility and I have a role to play, and I have to hold myself accountable. And at times, without making it sound like I'm some superhero, but I do feel like there are people relying on me to show up. And that gives me that sense of, you know, again, responsibility to show up and hold myself accountable, so I can be the best version of myself that I can be that day. So then by that, by extension, I'm also able to give. And I don't know if that sounds or resonates for you, but that's what I think of when I hear responsibility through coming into this and stepping into this.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, that is how we see that in our culture, in our humanness. It's like pressure. Responsibility feels like, oh, I have to show up and I need to do this. And I guess, like, there's a merging coming through there where I've now connected responsibility to my power, right? Mm. And it's like the power that is beyond my physical effort. And so even as you're explaining it there, it's kind of still in that, like, oh, wow, there's so much on me in this body to keep up with and to hold up with, rather than that, like, my sole responsibility connecting and co-creating with something beyond me that's supporting me. And so I think when we don't have that piece, it feels heavy, right? Like, it feels like, oh my gosh, this is so much for me to take on. Whereas me and my responsibility now, it's like constantly checking in with spirit and being like, okay, well, what am I to do now? And being guided and then being responsible with that guidance. Right. Like, yeah, it's something this year I've sort of just cracked into, like, a whole new level of being in contact with source energy, or my, you know, I use all different names because I'm like, do we really know what it is? Is it my higher self? Is it spirit? Is it God, universe? Like, whatever this thing is, it's guiding, right? And it's getting more and more clearer all the time, the more that I am responsible, connected to it, open to it, and believing in myself that, oh, this is actually what's happening, rather than feeling crazy, right?
No, I hear you, and I've heard very similar to yourself, different variations of it. I mean, for me, it's God. I know a lot of people call it source energy too, but, and it's interesting though, because I agree with you. I do feel that guidance, and most of the time I follow it. Sometimes I do feel like, okay, I'm not ready for this, and maybe I need more time. And it's almost like the sense of imposter syndrome that kicks in, and I am able to navigate through that. But I'm curious to know how your experience has been, and do you have those moments where you're like, I know I've been manifesting this and I know I've been working towards this, but this is too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I was shown a vision, must have been over 10 years ago now. And it was to do with me releasing a message to a crowd. Like, everything's like metaphor. Like, it didn't actually happen. It's not actually going to happen the way the vision did.
Yeah.
But it was like me growing and coming into myself and then standing in front of a crowd and actually like delivering this message that was able to just shift people's spirits, like, and bring them through. And it's taken me like 10 years to get to this point with Splendor where I feel like ready to do it. And so, you know, that vision has been there and it's been spoken to me. It's been like, you're going there. I'm like, I can't. I've tried to run away from it. It's like the pressure of what I would need to do. But, you know, I think for me, I was given that vision so that I would focus and do the right, because like you get told the thing that you need to do so that you can then have all the fears and have all the junk come up, and it just takes that time to clear it out. So it happens, it took me a good decade to get rid of it before I was ready to do it, right? So I think that piece works in it. But, you know, for me, I use the term God as well. And I challenge that I don't see God as like the religious human form. God is the energy, right, and the one all, right? And just like trashing my name and all of that. And then so what humans do is go, there's too much pain around the word God, and we'll move on to source or spirit or universe rather than, there was a bit of it. Anyway, I just wanted to touch on that piece.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I know a lot of people. I mean, there was a time when I had a similar, I guess, reaction or trigger. And I know a lot of people who do get triggered with the word God. And I think a lot of it comes from childhood experiences or based on what they've experienced through people, right? And for me, I've come to realize, and this is what I tell a lot of my friends too who have similar triggers, is, you know, you can't use other people's behavior or how they've treated people as a means to judge this higher power, right? Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, there is that trauma that comes with it based on their own personal experiences of what they witnessed, and being able to move through that. And I know when I was able to do that, it definitely opened up a lot more for me in terms of how I saw the world, how I experienced things internally, and then just my perspective towards life in general. And I think biggest thing I've realized is while the community aspect of religion is important, but that actual relationship or connection you have with God is truly your own, and you don't need to explain it to anyone. You don't need to justify it. It doesn't have to make sense to anyone. It's, to me, it's very private and individual based. And that allows me to really live in alignment with myself and experience for whatever it is without having to put words to it either, right? And I think a lot of people struggle with that too, is trying to be able to explain it. And it's something you just have to realize that a lot of the times you can't explain the things you experience or to your point, the visions you have. Because you're not doing it justice anyway by trying to explain it.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a personal journey. And, you know, I think even for me with visions and stuff like that, I went through a stage of, well, does anyone else have this? Like, am I normal? Okay, well, maybe it's not right. Maybe that's not me. And now I'm just at the level of like, this has just proven so many times to be true. Story goes, well, I don't get that. Like, they could either go, well, true, or there's something wrong with me.
I agree with you. And then I guess just to kind of come full circle in terms of what the work you do, what inspired you to come up with the name Splendor? Like, why that, and what does it mean for you? I'm always curious because I have a story for, you know, what I come up with, but I'm just curious about your story and the rationale behind it.
Yeah. Okay. So this one was a full download. So I was working with a coach and I was sort of coming into a session feeling like I had all these pieces, like I had one program called Keep Nears, and then I'd started the secret program and I was like, hang on, do these work together or what's happening here? And so I went into this energetic healing sort of a normal conversation, and she was leading me into, yes, you need to consider a whole rebrand, think of the word. Having this session was like something about, and then she gave me. So being in my, you know, human form, all of an hour, getting and got myself all frustrated going, I don't know what the name is yet. It's driving me crazy. Like an hour was a lot. So like, I was like, I want to know now. Anyways, and so I ended up driving into Myron and did a Pilates session, and I was so unfocused. I was still like fuming, like trying to get something out. And like, anyways, and then I went to a yoga session straight after, and somewhere in the yoga session, as yoga does beautifully for you, I just dropped in, let it go, which is the old like way to get to being quiet. Just so the yoga session got me there, and I went to order for breakfast, and I do these gratitude tapes, and I literally write out, I am grateful. I am grateful like 50 times. And so I also like grateful falling in before they happen. And so I literally said, I am grateful name came to me. And as soon as I wrote that line, I heard in my head the word Splendor. And I started Googling it. Oh my gosh, that is really perfect. And so it's, you know, about revealing the unique splendor in each other. So yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful download in a way. My entire, ever since with this program, like I'll sit down to write one of the videos and I'll think I'm going one way and I just get taken this whole other thing. And even I'm like, oh, is that how humanity works? Oh, okay. Like, oh, is that what we need to do? Is that true? Like, and I'm just, it just comes through like that. So yeah, the name to anything is always coming through from whatever that is, right? Whether that's my entire self giving me the energy, whether that's God, downloading it, that's how it comes.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing. And I think it's a great story. So thank you for sharing that with everyone. But I do want to thank you again for coming on here and having this conversation with me and sharing your story and walking us through everything you've been able to do in life and what's inspired you. So I'm super grateful to have the opportunity to hear that. Is there anything else you want to share that you feel is valuable for the listeners or you feel like we didn't cover?
Oh, you know, we had touched on so much around the ego and the true self today. And I think if anyone is like going, oh my gosh, what do I do with this next? I would just encourage you to jump onto, I have a podcast called Supreme Splendor, and it's walking you through all of these lessons in a really in-depth way so that you can find peace and understanding in them. So I don't want anyone feeling like lost and not sure where to go. So yeah, head over to that to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll put that in the show notes. But and then I do want to give you an opportunity to share the ways people can find you, whether it's online or social media. What are some ways people can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is revealyoursplendor.com. And then on Instagram is revealyoursplendor as our tag. And then, like I said, the podcast is a great place to sit, as well as just our emails. Every week I'm giving like downloads of what I'm getting from spirit. So if you jump onto the newsletter in the email, you're going to get some more expansion without even being in the programs. Like just these ways of doing life that are coming through is something that we are regularly giving to the world.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'll put all of that in the show notes as well. But Bethany, thank you so much for coming on here. And again, I'm really grateful for this conversation.
Thank you. I'm really grateful as well. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Bethany. As always, please leave a review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Some of the best ways to do that is on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And check out the sponsors. Thank you, and until next week.